Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's go around the NFL here. We appreciate Adam Spillane for a riveting conversation that went well into the
Who
break.
Won the fight?
I did.
No, you didn't. Stop that. That did not happen. and around the end,
I saw somebody bleeding.
My bad. That was me. That was it. Was all the arguing.
He's still laying out there. Go ask him.
All right. Okay. Around the NFL is brought to you by Quick Assist. Got extra game day tickets? Turn them into cash with Quick Assist. Download Quick Assist from your app store today to find H-Town fans looking for seats. That's QUICKASYST. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. All right, so you just played against the Cowboys. You got a victory at AT&T Stadium, and there were shenanigans that were happening, mm-hmm. including the stadium clearly not wanting to be a part of it at all and trying to shake to its core. Well, the city of Arlington, who actually, you know, is the purveyor of AT&T Stadium there, they went in, they did a, you know, a review after, you know, they had the sheet metal mm-hmm. kind of falling off of the stadium. They said that it is AT&T Stadium is safe. So it is a...
Is it?
That's what they say. We will hope that it doesn't continue to fall on people. But apparently the sheet metal that fell was a part of a covering. It was a lid to like a cable tray, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. That is what it is. But like of some sort there, which I imagine has to do with like the movement of the roof as they hadn't had it open for a game in like 2 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, crews determined that there weren't any structural issues. So there you go. Congratulations, AT&T Stadium. Your stadium is not falling apart.
I saw that in a tweet. I didn't get the details until I clicked on it, but it said no structural issues with AT&T Stadium. Sure looked like structural issues when stuff is falling off the top. That seems like it's a little structural. It's a little bit of an issue.
Nah, it was just a flesh wound of sorts, right?
Yes,
it was just a lid. Just the lid fell off.
Yeah.
Now what falls off next, we'll see.
Yeah.
But what's also fallen off apparently is Monday Night Football Week 14. Now, of course, this is the bye week for the Texans. Week 14 would be, and on that week, you might have time on your Monday. You might be able to schedule some other stuff.
Oh man, you got to watch Monday night, right?
I don't know if you do. As you know, the Monday night has been open to the opportunity of like flexing and whatever.
Yeah.
Except it's not going to happen on Monday Night Football on Week 14. Bengals, Cowboys, and that's going to be a mess because the Bengals, even though they are playing better football, they haven't been able to turn that better football into wins. So by that time, they're probably going to be out of playoff contention. The Cowboys are damn sure out of playoff contention, but they will play on Monday Night Football. Why? Because of Homer, Marge, Bart, Maggie, Lisa, the Simpsons broadcast that they had, because they already have all of those things in play for that special.
They can't switch that up.
Alternate broadcast. They can't switch
it
up.
They can't flex that.
So Monday Night Football.
Because they do all the graphics and all the everything with the Simpsons in advance.
It's the original primetime game, right?
Yes.
It is the one with the most prestige, and it's going to be desecrated by Cowboys Bengals.
Saw the headline, and I immediately went, "Do!" Come on. Come on. They teed it up for me. Can't have a Monday night game because of the Simpsons.
That's right. And your response again was...
No!
Thank you. Very good. Text in on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 713-572-4610. Good or bad joke by Lopez. That's all I need. Just good joke, bad joke. Some more NFL news. The 25 modern era player semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame have been announced. So we're narrowing it down to see who will go in for the 2025 Hall of Fame. Names like Jared Allen, Anquan Boldin, Antonio Gates, James Harrison, Torrey Holt, Luke Kuechly, Eli Manning, Terrell Suggs, Fred Taylor, Adam Vinatieri, Hines Ward, Reggie Wayne. Is there any, and there's obviously more because there's 25.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any of these names that you're looking at here that you feel like, okay, absolutely has to go in?
Outside of Eli Manning.
He will go in, but I use the word has to.
Speaking of overrated, I forgot to bring him up.
Yeah.
That brother overrated.
I'm with Reggie on this.
He might be on the Mount Rushmore overrated.
I'm with Reggie on this. He's going to get in.
With that dumb face.
He's going to get in, but yeah, no, I don't think it.
Man.
To me, I think Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas.
You think he getting in?
Has to get in.
Is his brother also going with him?
No, I don't know. Earl Thomas, Adam Vinatieri. Has to get in.
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
Antonio Gates?
Yeah.
100%.
Love Antonio. Did you know that he played basketball?
Kent State. I watched the man.
That's one of my favorite things about just like
former basketball player.
Just like
has those ball skills, the leaping ability.
The player, you know, that one player, no matter what it does, like Ryan Fitzpatrick is one of those that has that one note that every broadcaster is always going to bring up. You know, he went to Harvard, right?
Yeah. I love when this happens, and I imagine like some right tackle, like whomever. You know, he played basketball in high school. I always picture that right tackle being like the ninth man on the junior varsity, you know, and just joining basketball. So in the future, when he becomes an NFL player, people can say he played basketball. Okay, yeah. It was one of those things. Reggie Wayne.
Yeah, Reggie Wayne feels like he needs to go in.
Yeah.
One of the ones that I would put in just for my own personal enjoyment, Ricky Waters, if for no other reason than he gave me a quote that I use in my life very frequently, which is for who? For what? Because sometimes you just have to stop and you think, why am I doing this? Why would I do that?
Yeah.
Of course, that happened in a moment where he probably should have gotten on a football and he probably said it to the wrong fan base at that time, but it's iconic. But yeah, I think that you're right that, you know, Reggie Wayne has to go in. Vinatieri obviously is one of, if not the best kickers of all time. This is a solid class.
It is.
Especially, I mean, Marshall Yanda probably goes in as one of those guys who was an all-decade team guy.
I forgot about him. Yes. Yes, absolutely, Yanda.
I think we're going to be looking at, even with the cut down of this, when they probably cut this down to the finalists, again, this is the 25 semifinalists for the 2025 class, there's going to be some guys that get left out that we're like, yo, that's tough. Even though I don't know that there are like separate wing Hall of Fame guys, because, you know, there's some of the guys that are going to the Hall of Fame, and then some guys that are like, okay, they almost need a separate wing because they're other level. I don't know that you have the other level guys in there, but you've got some really solid Hall of Fame players on this one.
I feel like Rodney Harrison's going to get the Bill Cowher treatment. And because he's on TV a lot and he's been in front of the people a lot, he gets more points. Not that
Boo, we know who you are. Yeah. We saw you play and we have not forgotten.
I mean, Bill Cowher, you know, probably eventually deserved, I guess, you know, deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. But he got the Cowher
treatment. Overrated.
Yes, he got the Cowher treatment because he's on TV all the time.
Overrated.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree, but he probably would have gotten in, you know, but, well, he was rushed in because he's out. I think Rodney Harrison's in that same boat.
Some other things around the NFL. Obviously, there's a whole bunch. I'm not going to read all 25 names, but the semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But we continue around the NFL, and Diana Rossini, along with Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic, put out a very interesting piece about the downfall of the New York Jets. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Joe Douglas, the general manager who was just fired recently, was that yesterday, by the Jets, and really, highlighting the dysfunction that was. So he was fired on Tuesday, which was yesterday. I forgot what day it was for a second. 6 weeks after the team fired Robert Saleh, and in detailing kind of what was happening here, we find out just how much Woody Johnson, the owner of that team, has meddled in this, and they've kind of positioned this as why Joe Douglas was never going to be successful in that team. Obviously, he's had some really good draft picks. He didn't get the quarterback right at any point, because obviously you had Zach Wilson, and then they go out and get Aaron Rodgers. But one of the details that came up is after the Denver Broncos loss, or after they lost to the Denver Broncos, the Jets did on September 29th, which I think was like
they were week 2-5
or week 4 or something.
I think it was after. I think they were 2-2.
They were 2-2, and they had a big meeting that included Woody Johnson, the owner, Joe Douglas, the general manager, vice chairman, rather, Christopher Johnson, team president, advisors, and then a group of coaches, including the head coach, Robert Saleh, Nathaniel Hackett, offensive coordinator, El Olbrecht, who's the defense coordinator at that point, Brian Boyer, the special teams coordinator. So a nice group of people, and they're really just doing a come-to-Jesus moment, like, hey, what do we need to do, or what have you. And one of the things that gets brought up is Woody Johnson basically puts up the idea of, should you bench Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers, who this would
for
be
for Tyrod Taylor.
For Tyrod Taylor, Tyrod Taylor, a little bit of an underrated quarterback in this league.
He's okay.
A little bit of an underrated quarterback in this league. But
former Texan.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Good guy. Yeah. But Aaron Rodgers, a dude who you brought in for MVP quality play, you hadn't gotten the first year out of him as he only played all of 4 snaps. And 4 games into the second season, the owner is coming down and talking about possibly benching him. Now, Douglas had to go and be like, hey, no,
they thought
he was
joking.
They thought he was joking. Yeah. They got to a point where they, you know, talked him off the ledge, Woody Johnson off the ledge, saying that, hey, man, that would cause dissent in the locker room and those types of things. And Woody Johnson apparently also, as much as we wanted to put it on Aaron Rodgers, unilaterally decided to fire Robert Saleh when he did. Mm-hmm. And so this Jets organization, I think, points one to the fact that poor ownership is always going to corrupt no matter how good of the job that you do around them. Saleh has been doing a good job. A lot of people would point to Joe Douglas had some really good drafts, although, again, I mentioned quarterback, he hadn't really gotten right. And here they are, incompetent again. Also, I would like to ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Texans get that loss against the Jets if they listen to Woody Johnson and bench Aaron Rodgers?
Probably not. I mean, who knows? The Texans were making their own bet in that one as well. This always goes back to the same thing that I've always believed. There's at least 25-40% of NFL owners, just like in any walk of life, 25-40% of bosses that are just in over their head.
Oh yeah,
they're just it's like any other industry.
I've often said that
25, maybe 40, maybe pushing 40.
I've often said that, like, with all of the management positions that exist in our society, there's no way that we have enough people that are qualified to be managers, right?
Right. I mean, our listeners, I think about your work history. I'll bet you could come up with close to 40% of your bosses or that were just in over their head, incompetent.
Yeah. And some of them that probably just got that position and be like, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm going to make it work.
Well, the same thing happens, maybe even more so with ownership, because a lot of them it's handed down. It's just rich guys with a toy and don't know anything about the industry. There's probably pushing 40% of NFL owners that are just incompetent.
Yeah, and especially ownership, because ownership is one of those things that travels by the family.
Like, that's it, handed down, right. You know, that kind of thing.
And how fortunate are we that Cal has, you know, has really stabilized what you're doing here.
Because, and it was handed down here, so he's learned.
And I think
second-generation money a lot of times messes it up, man.
Yeah, I think about that a lot, too, because a lot of times with these owners, they have, like, huge egos, and they feel like they just invented football and they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They be in them draft rooms saying, no, I want this, you know, I want
and
this.
And what are you supposed to do? That's your boss.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, no, I really appreciate the Meniers for, you know, let Nick Caserio do his thing. And they kind of stay out there. I'm sure they give some feedback and all that stuff. But for the most part, I feel like they let them do their thing and not try to meddle and, hey, draft this person, sign this person and all that stuff. Let them do their job.
Oh, let us know, because we just got a text on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. I was 19 and a store manager, and I was way over my head. I just want to hear about your manager. Text us in. 5-Hour Energy fan line, 713-572-4610. That is Around the NFL here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, where are we with this Texans offensive line? I asked that to get a feel, but then also let's do an accounting of what this offensive line looks like, especially a couple of weeks after the reformatting of what the five look like. We'll talk.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
About that.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Every joint is hard. I like that. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, questionable, and Reginald Atitula.
Figgy Fig, you mean Doc Rivers?
Yeah, you working
like
on it.
I feel like, I sound like Doc Rivers by the time
you're getting there. But you have significantly more hair than he does. Same hairline, though.
About somehow. The same win-loss percentage, though.
Yeah, he needed to lay off that. What's that? What's the black stuff they be
putting? Oh, the Beijing?
Yeah, he got to lay off of that, man. We can see it's not your hair, man.
You got a tattooed on hairline. I don't know how that happened. Speaking of, we were talking earlier about the most overrated athletes in sports, and somebody said, not an athlete, but Doc Rivers came up.
Yeah.
And yeah, fair.
Oh, for sure.
Way too many times that he's gone up 3-1.
How many jobs has he had?
And he's lost.
He keep falling to jobs, too, man.
Oh, man.
Like, I'm like, man, goodness.
He trusts his players to, like, figure it out too much, too. He's like, I'm just going to let them keep going. Like, no, call timeout.
That's kind of what you're supposed to do.
Step in and do your job, bro.
Yeah.
Speaking of stepping in and doing your job, I think that's the way that a lot of Texans fans have felt about the offensive line, about the offensive line coach. And, I mean, you can also point to Bobby Slowick in some ways, but let's do an accounting. Where are we with this Texans offensive line, 713-572-4610?
How does it make you feel?
Okay.
How does this line make you feel?
I feel like Andre Ware.
Where are
this
we?
Offensive line.
How does it make you feel? Legitimate question, and we like to be interactive with our listeners. So 713-572-4610, and, of course, Twitch and YouTube. I don't know if I can answer this question, and I posed the question to you this morning.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, where are we? Like, let's go through a couple things here, Figgy. Let's go through a couple things here. All right?
I have the word, mind you. If we're playing the, what is the one word that of the feeling that...
Hit me.
Resigned.
Maybe?
I am resigned to what this offensive line is, which is, hey, man, they're decent, you know, the pass protection has gotten better, and now I think you have cleaned up, for the most part, some of the communications issues with the switch of Jarrett Patterson to center. But I think what that has also opened up is, all right, well, just physically. The issues are just physical. Like, the first sack that C.J. Stroud took in that game was Osa Odighizuwa just hitting Juice Scruggs with a swim move, right? Like, that you, did I say anything special there?
No.
Hit him with a swim move. And it was just, oh, Juice Scruggs is a little bit smaller as a guard, and he has short arms.
Mm-hmm.
And he can get got with a spin move. Or not a spin move, a swim move.
Yeah.
And then Osa is back into the backfield.
That's a pee-wee move right there, man.
Yeah.
They teach you the swim move.
Now, of course,
pee-wee.
It's a good, like, it's a professional-level swim move, right? Yeah. I'm not trying to act like he's just out here getting beat by.
I can do a good swim move.
Right? I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
Let's see
that, man.
Figgy. Let's see that swim move.
In fact,
on YouTube.
Yeah.
I'm not, look at that.
Ooh, that was good. Wait, you been working on that?
Nah, not since pee-wee. Okay.
But, yeah, I'm not saying that we could just step in and hit Juice Scruggs with a swim move and be in the backfield, but he's playing against other professionals, right? And I think that now you're just dealing with the physical deficiency that this offensive line has outside of, like, some of the some of the protection issues and the communications issues. Those feel like they're somewhat cleaned up. Now I'm just resigned to the, oh, yeah, that's right. You just don't have an offensive line that is as good as what these other teams are trotting out. And you have to find ways of trying to neutralize that, understanding that that's not going to, that you're not going to win every time with that type of situation.
Resigned is a good way to put it. You know, you start looking at this line and you're thinking, okay, they just gave up the one sack and Joe Mixon ran wild this Monday night. But, you know, they showed a little fight. I mean, sometimes literally, they showed a little fight.
Which, you know what?
Yeah.
Appreciated.
Yeah.
Thanks, fellas.
That's what I'm saying. So, okay, maybe that's a check mark on the good side. But they did allow 14 pressures. It was one sack, 14 pressures.
And that's the resignation, is that, hey, man, C.J. Stroud is going to have to, you know, do a little bit more of this cover CYA himself, which he looked like he did very well. It's one of the things that we were impressed with early on in the season, was seeing his micro movements and even sometimes the bigger movements in the pocket. He is navigating the pocket very well. And, I mean, there are some statistics that you could look at that maybe would point to some of the benefits of that. I think that FTN does some analysis. That is Aaron Schatz's new new endeavor. He's the guy who, the father of DVOA, if you've heard of that advanced metric. Otherwise, I just said letters at you. Don't worry about it. But like his company, they currently have a like EPA look at who is avoiding sacks the best. And funny enough, on that, Tua Tagovailoa, far and away the best, which kind of shocked me in some ways. C.J. Stroud kind of right in the middle in some ways at navigating the sacks, and I imagine that that's also getting better as the offensive line is just being a little bit. They're finding a level to where it's not as atrocious.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, he's getting better at navigating some of those instances where you have pressure and finding ways to get the ball out. Now you just want to, you hope it's a little bit more accurate when he gets the ball out, but he's done a good job of navigating it. Yeah. And I think that that is helped by the fact that it feels like you found a level on the offensive line, even though the level of the offensive line isn't as high as you would ask, as you would typically want it to be.
Look, yes and no questions can be very difficult in things like this when you're judging an entire group of players like the offensive line. But if I asked you yes or no, is this line better? Would you answer yes or no? If it had to be a yes or no question.
Better than?
Than before. Better than?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Yes or no? Is this offensive line good?
No.
See, that's like, where are we with this squad, man?
Resigned.
I feel like they mid. And I know a lot of people use the word mid as like a
bad.
Bad.
Yeah, it's kind of changed meaning, ain't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you say something mid, people get offended.
Yeah.
But they are literally middle, to me, average.
Well,
it's just an average offensive line. If you don't look at the money and draft picks, that's an average offensive line to me.
But I think that's where people get in trouble, is that you start looking at the context of it, because context always matters. And you're like, okay, but not only are you underperforming for what this offensive line should do, you're underperforming based off of the investment.
That's a big factor.
If you would have told me these tackles are not the top 10 or top 12,
that they were mid.
I would be like, all right, they all right, but, you know, they not getting paid that much, so, you know, it don't matter, but they are getting paid that much, and you drafted a lot of people to, you know, at a high price.
I don't know, man. We started the show, I'm talking about, boy, this defense, it's on the right path. It could be carrying this team and all that, but you still have to go. It always comes back to the offensive line. And, this is one of those, like, for what it's worth type of analytical pieces, but three of the five lowest ranked players by PFF on Monday night were Juice Scruggs, Jarrett Patterson, and Shaq Mason.
Yeah, I mean, the interior of this offensive line is clearly a weakness.
Man.
And some of that is just Shaq Mason is over the hill, right? I say that with all due respect, because I recognize where the peak of that hill has been.
Yeah.
He's over the hill, right? And so there's instances where Shaq Mason might get pushed into the quarterback or things of that nature, right? Or maybe just not move as fluidly. I just talked about Juice Scruggs and like the deficiencies that you knew that he had in size. Like, he is a center. Jarrett Patterson is still a young center in this league as well, right? They're both second year guys. So all those things come into play. And those guys, I think Seth was mentioning it earlier this morning, right? Those guys, the expectation, or like maybe not the actual expectation, but what the like realistic expectation you have when you're watching it, is not that they're going to go and move somebody, but it's that they're just going to get in somebody's way.
Yeah, okay.
And I think that even those lowered realistic expectations that we carry with us are indicative of the fact that, you know, this isn't a great offensive line, in addition to the fact that they're not super consistent, and they're finding a little bit more consistency, but I think that's one of the things that ends up being problematic as well.
So it's still the focal point is kind of where I'm going with this. Yeah, like, because here's the point. Even if the defense becomes, you know, elite or close to elite, even if Joe Mixon continues to run, you know, to bust out 100-yard games, can you get there with an offensive line that is, as Figgy put it and you put it, you're resigned to their are what they are? And Figgy said, can you get there with that offensive line?
Yeah,
I think you can. I think it's possible. I mean, we seen the Bengals get there, and Joe Burrow was getting his butt whooped.
Yeah, that's a good example.
He got to a Super Bowl. But
good example.
And I'm glad you brought up the Bengals, because what that means, and this is what I was trying to allude to yesterday when we were at the Texas Star Grill Shop, is it requires your it puts more pressure on your pillars, right? Mm-hmm. There is less surface area to spread out all the responsibility here, and if the offensive line can only do but so much, that means more responsibility on Joe Mixon to individually create create run lanes for himself, right? Hey, lanes aren't where it's blocked up. I'm going to bounce out here where there is space.
And he did.
And he has the capability of, his lateral movement is incredible. Boom, there you go. That works.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the difference between the one singular rushing attempt that Dameon Pierce had in that game, where he runs smack dab right into Shaq Mason's keister. Because he does not have that same wherewithal to go and create more space. Like, that puts more pressure on Joe Mixon's shoulders.
Yeah.
Now, he got some broad-ass shoulders that can do that,
yeah,
which is awesome. But that is pressure on his shoulders. We're looking at the passing game, and, hey, Nico Collins shifts a lot of things. He takes a lot of attention and all those things. That's a lot on his shoulders. And I think also one of the things that we're seeing with C.J. Stroud in some of the accuracy and some of the I guess sophomore slump, if you want to call it that or whatever, that people are pointing to, is what we see with a lot of talented quarterbacks when they look around and they're like, I have to do more and I have to put more on my shoulders.
Or they're getting hit a lot or pressured a lot.
That hit a lot and pressured a lot also puts more on your shoulders because you have more consideration for keeping yourself clean when in theory that should be your line's job to protect you.
Yeah.
And so, again, it just means that more responsibility falls on those other places. And one of the issues has been those other places haven't been 100%, right? We've talked about how many third and longs you end up in and those types of instances. And in that game in particular, you saw how C.J. Stroud left some things on the table. When you leave some plays on the table, there's no room for margin because your offensive line.
Everything else got to be, I don't want to say 100%, but everything got to be borderline elite for you to kind of look past that.
Well, the sad part is, and I'm with you guys, and I think that's where we're landing. It's like they are what they are.
See what I did there?
Didn't it feel good?
No, it didn't. It felt dirty. I felt dirty saying
it. I don't know. He laughed when he said it.
You might as well say it, man.
No. I did that on purpose. They're mid. You're resigned to the fact that they're not going to be a plus, but you're trying to protect the most expensive unit on the squad. You're protecting that group.
Who's the most expensive unit on the squad?
That would be the offensive line.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're trying to protect that.
All right. Well, did we ultimately came
you're covering back. For it? Maybe is a better way to put it.
So I came up with a word. Did you have a word that you were talking about there with the offensive line on how you feel?
I think it's the same word I had yesterday morning. It's complicated, man.
Okay.
I know I'm tired of talking about the damn offensive line.
Well,
we've been talking about this since I moved to Houston.
Get used to
it. It's been always the offensive line,
yep,
man.
Yep.
Man, Wade Smith was the last time we had a good offensive line.
Shout out to Wade.
Yeah.
The tough part about it is the game in its essence is about blocking and tackling. And so it's always going to come back to the offensive line. And that's one of the tough parts. It's not something you can hide from because it's front and center. Every single play.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Brant James on the YouTube who said, we just want them to play perfect, but it's the trenches. You're going to lose some offensive line battles, but not as many and not as vehemently as it feels like they have. And when you say you want them to play perfect, we're not asking for perfect from the offensive line. And they're far from it. And because of the way that they're playing, it requires more perfection from other places. And that's ultimately what I'm pointing to. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we get into what's popping, including a fantastic performance in NBA Cup play. Plus, NBA ratings just being down. Is Adam Silver right about the reasons why? We'll talk about that more next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into what's popping here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. But before we get there, we got people still weighing in on various discussions that we've been having during the show. And what I've realized is I keep asking for your feedback, but I got to remember to circle back to them. So from 713, on the overrated conversation, they said they think that Ben Roethlisberger is overrated, or Large Benjamin, as I like to call him.
That's a tough one for me. I liked his game.
Just his game.
Okay. I just want to make sure you.
I never went to a college campus with him, but I will say,
shout out to Miami of Ohio.
he carried that team a lot more than he did.
He was to me. He was like an old school quarterback, just a big dude that had a big arm.
Big arm. Didn't move all. He looked like when he scrambled, he looked like a skyscraper running.
Yeah, he looked like an offensive lineman out there just playing quarterback.
Yeah.
Nah, he's pretty good in his day. Now, when it was gone, it was so gone. That was the thing that got us. Like, when it fell off a cliff, it went all the way.
Yeah.
And then someone else mentioned in a segment yesterday or earlier when we were talking about the offensive line, they are unsatisfied with the offensive line.
Another good word.
Feel unsatisfied?
That's another good. Yes, because
even after the changes?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I just went through it. Yeah, just one sack, but 14 pressures. Better running game, but it's Joe Mixon doing Joe Mixon things, as you pointed out.
That is right.
You know, finding the holes that other running backs wouldn't have, or cutbacks that other running backs wouldn't. So that's why I was so interested.
It kind of make it tricky, too, because let's say they play this well for the rest of the year. Now it's like, what do you do? Do you just roll the dice with the same crew?
No, I think you're making changes no matter what.
Yeah, it might go as, I mean, it probably should go as far as also an evaluation of the coach staff because Chris Strasser, there's been technique issues in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's stuff that I don't know that goes very much further than offensive line coach. There's people asking, hey, will Munchak be available? I'm not certain, But it feels like you definitely have to have a consideration for somebody that fits a little bit better with the scheme mm-hmm. and can make sure that your guys are doing it. But I guess in some ways, this is also Jimmy's and Joe's in addition to coaching. All right. Some things that are popping. More NBA Cup, Emirates NBA Cup action.
All right.
Last night. Rockets not involved in this after they already had a back-to-back. Sunday and Monday. Mm-hmm. And so Tuesday night, they had the night off. They'll get more NBA Cup action getting going on this
Those
Friday.
Those Tuesdays and Fridays, right?
Yeah, Tuesdays and Fridays, yep. NBA Cup action. Mm-hmm. And so this Tuesday saw the Lakers face off against the Utah Jazz. And why is Reggie bringing this up? I'm not bringing it up just to talk about hoops, even though I would love to do that from time to time. It's because there was a phenomenal performance put on by one Dalton Connect.
How about that?
As he's gonna have a good consideration for this Rookie of the Year, race that's really open. And mm-hmm. Reed Sheppard was the favorite early, but he's not as impactful as
no, he's ain't not. Playing. No, as yeah, yeah, he ain't it.
He's not getting a huge role in this offense. Dalton Connect started in this game, and he knocks down how many 3-pointers in this one, Lopez?
Well, he had 17 straight points at one point in the third quarter. The other one was a total on the line 3-pointer, so basically 6.
Y'all want to hear it?
I love to hear it.
Bring it down to 11 and connect right back to 14. Connect, it up again. Got it! On fire! Connect 4 for 3. Another one! Don't connect!
Thought about it. He's going on it. He's going on it.
Here he goes, trying it again. Unreal.
9 of 12. 9 of 12 from three.
Dude, there's just something special. We can talk, and we will in this segment, a lot about the 3-pointer and the NBA and its effect and all that. But when a dude is unconscious like that,
yeah,
it's just different, man. It's special.
Man.
It was just... Like, you're just like, okay, is he going to do it again? Boom. Oh, crap, he did it again. Is he going to do it again? Oh, yeah, he did it again.
that's kind of frustrating because it does feel like with the added focus that the Lakers get, the Dalton Connect
even more so.
is going to have quite the hold on Rookie of the Year. So unless Reed Sheppard can, kind of knock down more shots and then maybe find a little bit more impact on this Rockets team, We were all hoping for a Rookie of the Year title. I'm not sure if that's going to be something that's very
LeBron
viable.
Was peacocking. Y'all see all that LeBron stuff after the game?
Yeah.
I missed it.
Oh, he was like, 16 teams bleeped up on this guy. I told y'all, but nobody believed. Everybody thinks I'm lying all the time anyway. He turned it into
it about himself?
Yeah. Yeah, go figure. But he's like, y'all, everybody thinks I'm lying. I wasn't lying. This guy's the real deal, all this other stuff.
I would ask, how many teams missed out on Bronny?
Yeah.
How many teams passed up on Bronny?
That would have been a great follow-up. It would have been your last follow-up.
I would have been fired.
Some other things in the NBA Cup space. The Cleveland Cavaliers. Figgy, I dare I say your Cleveland Cavaliers in the sense?
Yeah. I've just been enjoying it.
You were enjoying it. They were 15-0 to start the season.
I kind of wanted them to beat the Golden State Warriors record. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it was cool.
I mean, they could still go and actually win a whole bunch of regular season games. They're just
fold now, the franchise.
15-1.
R.I.P. Cavs.
Yeah, yep. So
it's over.
You don't have to care anymore. But, no, Kenny Atkinson's Cleveland Cavaliers lost their first game to who, you might ask? The reigning NBA champion Boston Celtics, 120-117. I am not writing them off. Like, I think this was still super impressive. They lost by 3.
I didn't watch. I'm not going to pretend to, but I watched all the highlights.
They were down 21.
Yeah.
And they came back in the second half.
Yeah.
And the thing that I will tell you is that the Boston Celtics, huge 3-point shooting team, shot 54% from 3.
That'll
and
do
it. Cleveland hey, Cavs. It sounded like that Connect highlight. Yeah. To be honest.
The Cavs lost by 3 whole points.
Yeah.
That's a terrifying team.
Yeah.
That is a terrifying team. Some other things that are popping. Obviously, Monday Night Football. I want to go back there as your Texans played against the Cowboys. They get a victory 34-10. They begin moving themselves on the right path. They break the 2-game losing streak that they had been on, the back-to-back losses. And again, they narrowed that all-time series versus the Cowboys to 4-3 now, mm-hmm. continuing winning all the primetime games against the Cowboys, and really needed to win a primetime game just for themselves after losing the previous two against the Jets and the Lions, respectively. But In addition to that, I think you also boost the ego of this franchise and the fact that the rest of this league cares about this franchise, if for no other reason than in that situation was beating up on the Cowboys. But I think people are in on the Texans, mm-hmm. as evidenced by the ratings here, Lopez.
Isn't this something? How about the highest rated Monday night football game on ESPN since it took over, second highest, since it took over in 2006. The only one it trails was the Eagles-Chiefs rematch game. Second highest on Monday Night Football ratings since ESPN, since 06.
And so I want to see how you break this down, because I know
one place I'm going.
We're all fed up with them, but the Cowboys still draw even when they're frustrating, when they're bad, all those things. And so I imagine a good amount of that was still people wanting to see the Cowboys, whether they were hoping for some reason they'd be able to do something, or they just wanted to hang on the Cowboys. So I think some of that was that.
Huge.
But I feel
absolutely.
Like there has to be a portion of this that is excitement for this Texans team, right?
It's the excitement for the Texans team, and it's what I said yesterday. There is something different about the interstate rivalry, the battle for Texas. It's
Governor's Cup.
It's easy. Screw that. But it's easy. It's easy to sell.
We won it, man.
Hey, yeah.
Governor's Cup champs.
Yeah, it's easy. I said it yesterday. There has to be a way. You have to make it happen.
I want to take a picture with the trophy, man.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You have to make it happen.
What is the trophy?
I wonder if the McNairs would just let us keep it in the studio for a while.
I have.
You should call and ask.
That would be an absolute no.
No, heck no, man. They're nice. They like it. Just put it right here. Governor's Cup.
Call and ask.
State champs. State champs. You got to make this rivalry more regular, like as in every year.
It's kind of It's kind of a shame they don't play each other every year, man.
Well, that's what Lopez is trying to set up.
Yeah.
And I think going back again, saluting to Mark Vandermeer, his thought is with that 18th game, maybe like a rivalry type scheduling thing is how you
face them every year.
That maybe not every year, but maybe every other year or something like that.
They should kind of go around like the NFL, like for stuff like this. Like I think the Giants and the Jets should play every year.
That could be theirs.
Yeah,
you know, Philadelphia's could be the Steelers.
You really want to subject the city of New York to Giants Jets every year?
Do you know
that you could send them into turmoil?
Yeah. Hey, just don't put it on Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
and I'm fine.
And here's the nasty thing about Giants Jets as well. As you know, right? Like the TV market on these games is dictated by the teams that you have locally. Well, if you have a team in the AFC and a team in the NFC and they play each other, y'all ain't seeing nothing else. This is the game you got.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But it's just it's undeniable. Like there's just something about it. I said, there's something about a guy when he gets unconscious, hot like Kinect. Something about an interstate rivalry that people just gravitate to.
Yeah,
they just do.
It should be fun. They should do it all around, man. They should.
Yeah.
They should do Tampa Bay and Miami or something like that. They should do that stuff like every year.
And the ratings tell you. Like, yes, there is a Cowboys factor in every game that the Cowboys play. There's going to be a jolt in the ratings. But there was more to it than that.
There definitely was.
Yeah.
A lot of bragging rights.
Yeah,
there's been a lot of Cowboys games on Monday Night Football, and none of them put up the ratings that this
just
week.
Imagine all these teams. Like, oh, we the big brother around here.
Yeah.
Like, y'all just the little brothers of the state.
Well, they got a run yesterday.
Yeah.
A lot of big brother talk yesterday. Little brother talk.
Well, who the big brother this year, then?
That's exactly right.
I just wanted to check. Shout out to Adam on the YouTube, who I'm certain is a wrestling fan. As they said, three-way game between Dolphins, Jaguars, and Bucks.
Cage match?
That would be fun.
Winner leaves town. Yeah. Or loser leaves town, rather. Winner leaves town would be a
throw
weird
throw a ladder
space.
In there.
Someone said, 281, there's no way to mathematically make it across, even across the league. That's why they don't have the rivalry games. I understand. I think that there's, and look, far be it for me to try and be a scheduler in one of these leagues. That seems impossible, because not only are you trying to make sure that all these games line up and all those things, and I know that they have kind of like a rubric of sorts that they go by, but then you have to make sure that it all aligns with the usage of the stadiums and when those things are free, and I know that they have precedence.
I don't know how they do it, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's a way.
AI.
Don't start that.
If they really wanted to do it, they can figure something out.
Mm-hmm.
It's the NFL. They can figure something out.
Absolutely, they could. Absolutely.
It's not an absolute, we cannot do this. They can figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's what's popping. Oh, I didn't mention this, but we can mention this real quick. NBA's ratings are apparently down 3% on TNT and down 28% on ESPN through November 14th. Adam Silver, the commissioner of the league, says that he thinks that you know, this particular year mm-hmm. has played in, where you also looked at, or sorry, that was NBA ratings for the playoffs, right? Yeah. And he pointed to the World Series happening, which did not, I mean, there was, it was a big time World Series when you talk Yankees, Dodgers, which I understand, and then also it being an election year, that definitely takes a lot of attention. You buying that as one of the potential or one of the big reasons as to why playoff numbers were kind of down TV-wise?
I think if you buy, and that's the ratings through November 14th, so I'm guessing from the early part of this, from the start of the season through November 14th, down 28% on ESPN, 3% on TNT. If you buy that it was because of the World Series and the election, that's still a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't matter. Like you know, you know, the World Series got ratings. The NFL gets ratings no matter who's running for president, you know? I mean, my problem with them using that as an excuse is that it's an excuse. It shouldn't be.
Just wait till you got to say about the Christmas Day games.
Hey,
like, you know what? That Beyonce concert happened. Oh, so, yeah, that's probably one of the reasons.
Yeah, the NFL is really.
That's the first thing I thought about, to be honest. I'm like, man, they really sticking it to the NBA.
Yeah, the NFL is really doing their Marlo Stanfield on a big way, because not only are they like, hey, we coming up on your corners, we're also bringing Beyonce with us. What? That is a wild thing. So, yeah, they're going to have to find. I think the NBA Cup is one of those things that they're trying to do to up. They're trying to find somewhere to stake their claim, because Christmas Day used to be one of those things, and it looks like it, at least for this year. We'll see if the NFL can continue to try and make Christmas Day a thing, but the NFL's trying to take that too. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, I have a question, because we've talked a lot about this defense for the Texans. I kind of want to see if we can reverse engineer it. What makes an What makes an elite defense, and can we engineer the criteria? We'll talk about it next.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.